And with that, let's get on to today's interview again with Dr. Becky Meyer. She's the superintendent of schools with the Lake Pendre School District. And so, Becky, we are just, what about a day short of 2 weeks from the first day of school right now. And
staff comes back next Monday. So the staff comes back the week early.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, I hope the kids appreciate that they get an extra week more than the teachers, right? Well, what's new and notable for the upcoming school year?
Well, just to give you a little bit, you might have saw it on the front page of the paper, there was a little bit of a teaser out, but I did want to share some exciting news. First of all, you know, the first part of our facilities, our strategic plan is facilities and safety, really making sure our schools stay safe and that our facilities are kept up to proper working condition and educationally suitable for our students. So I do want to give a shout out and a thank you. I spoke last time I was with you about the Long Range Facility Planning Committee. They spent an entire year and did a lot of work and presented to the school board. We will be getting our board approved a 10-year draft facility plan, and that's available online. And they did ask for one lump sum. So that House bill that we talked about, the House Bill 292 that passed, we're looking at approximately $15.1 million that would come to our district. So hopefully that all comes in one lump sum, but we were told by the state it might be in two pieces during the year. So because the whole state has to bond a big amount, and most districts are going to ask for the one lump sum versus annually over 10 years. So a big shout out to thank you to the community members. Every single school was represented at this for the year. So a lot of voice and a lot of input into presenting that plan to the school board. But along that same vein, we have a CTE grant. It was called ICRS, which is Idaho Career Ready Students. And it really is based on expanding CTE. I spoke with you several times ago when I was here about writing a grant to try to get a CTEC, Career Technical Education Center, here in North Idaho. We weren't approved the first time, weren't approved the second time, weren't approved the third time. But lo and behold, the legislature at the last minute gave $20 million more to CTE for this, to their council. And we were awarded. They did shave some off. Initially, it was like a $5 million and then a $4.77 million, but we did receive, and I got official notification, $3.5 million for us to start with a CTE center. So I already met with a planning committee this week on Monday, and we are going to be starting some work with the community businesses, industries, and business partners in our community and looking towards that. I got approval from the school board to go out to bid for the request. It's called RFQ, Request for Qualifications, to get a general contractor. We looked at spots. We're going to be able to move forward with looking at increasing opportunities for our students in the CTE field and partnering with our community partners to create some more relevant opportunities for kids to be internship, job shadows, and then what can we provide and get students workforce ready for our business partners.
Wow.
So that's super exciting.
Those are a couple big ones right there. Mm-hmm. Huge. So CTE is Career Technical Education.
Yes.
That encompasses like hands-on trade skills, right?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. And the great thing that we always talk about with CTE, when we were growing up, the three of us, it was called Voc Ed. And now CTE has really expanded into anything that's career ready and giving you relevancy opportunities to see it hands-on, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to go right into the field when you graduate. You can, but you also can use this for a springboard to go into college degrees, engineering, doctors. So it's just a great starting pathway to see if it's somewhere you're interested in.
And how would that work? Just some example of how that kind of transfers.
So let me give you an example just of my two oldest girls. Both were in the diversified health CTE pathway when they were at Sandpoint High School. So they were certified CNA, certified nursing assistant when they graduated, but they both decided they didn't want to go right into the workforce. They both went to four-year universities, got their RN degree, and then practiced nursing. But you could go straight into the workforce and decide, oh, I'm going to go to a two-year, I'm going to go right to the workforce, two-year degree, or four-year degree, or they could have gone to medical school, but then that foundation, computer science, same thing. You could go right into starting to work software, hardware, or you could go on to computer science degree, draftsman. You could go right into work or go into a further training and be a draftsman and civil engineer, electrical engineer program. You can be culinary arts. You can go right to the workforce or decide you want to go. So it's really a great springboard, and students love it because they are getting hands-on experience and seeing, you know, getting to try out different careers before you graduate from high school. So
the $3.5 million grant you have for this, is that to build a facility?
Yes.
Okay.
And how did you know?
Just a guess.
Yeah.
And have you figured out where that's going to be?
Well, I had an initial meeting. I mean, I wrote a grant and we have several opportunities, but I'm working with a committee and some facility folks, and we're going to, we have several options, and then we will, Matt Deal, who is our facilities director, will meet with an architect and talk about, plan A, B, C, D, and E, and which one's better for long range. I mean, we're trying to think 50 years out. So the plan I wrote for the grant was 10-year, but we're really looking 20-year, 30-year, like what's going to be best for students in this community and the long vision.
So it sounds like this is kind of an apprenticeship program, so they can test the waters, as you say. But why do you need a facility? Is it kind of the central place where counselors help them find the places that they might get this work experience?
Great question, Susie. No, what it really is it's we've ran out of space at Sandpoint High School. We've ran out of space at Clark Fork. We've ran out of space at Lake Pendere. Really, if you're looking at it, we need a spot right now for programs not only that we have to be able to have some room to do what they need to do. I'll give you an example with residential carpentry program, but also, if we're looking at a big vision for long term, how do we expand the program? So for instance, residential carpentry program, which was started again under my predecessor, which was Tom Albertson, wrote a grant for PAFE to bring back residential carpentry program. Huge shout out. Thank you to PAFE for that. It's been going well, and our numbers
are the Panhead Alliance for Education.
Yes, thank you. Panhead Alliance for Education, all based on education for the Lake Pendere School District and supporting that work. So we got that started, and there's students, I mean, tons of students that are in there and want to continue. Their first project is to build this tiny house. So we talked about that on a prior program. They don't have enough room where the spot is at Sandpoint High School, even to get the roof on. So they have to, you know, do some of the work, move it out, get a trailer. And thank you to the Residential Carpentry Board who bought that for them. Back it out, be outside, and then put on, you know, do the finishing touches and get the roof. So if we had an industry-ready, appropriate spot that they could build, they could be maybe working on several projects at a time that they could do. Same with culinary arts. We just have residential equipment at Sandpoint High School. It's a really small working spot. Not even a full classroom for them to do the classroom and learning part. And then the lab part is super small. Lake Pendere, there's no culinary arts in Clark Fork High School area. And the LPO, Lake Pendere High School, Chef Rand has one or two stations, but it's very small. So how can we help get students ready? That facility is going to offer those opportunities and then add some additional opportunities. I would love to eventually add automotive, diesel mechanics back again. Love to look at the community. Are we looking at plumbing, electrician, other hands-on activities? We have a robust welding and a great workspace at Sandpoint High School for welding, but how do we expand opportunities for kids? Hospitality, resort management, that's something with pairing with Schweitzer. And looking at opportunities for that here for kids as well.
Yeah, building contractors would love to have a pipeline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I met with them a few years ago. And we kind of had an initial kickoff. And so getting that back going again, now that this is here, and creating those partnerships with the industry folks, would be, that's what we're looking for. Mm-hmm.
All you can say is congratulations to our school district, to you, and of lucky children having an option. So looking at diversity.
Thank you.
Okay, so I imagine this is a year off before this would really kick in.
Yes, we have to, you know, all the steps. You have to, in public education, in public, you have to go through requests for qualifications, requests for proposals, and go through that process. And then the board approves every step along the way.
Well, that's very exciting. So a big CTE grant for career readiness, for technical teaching there. So let's talk a little bit more about the long-range planning facility. The long-range facility planning committee and the work that they did, that you said they presented to the board, and was their plan approved?
They didn't do a plan that say, oh, approve this, but they gave recommendations. So they definitely had a, hey, this is the non-negotiable minimum level of that we think you should do throughout the district for the various schools. Then there was an additional, if there's other money, here's some things that you could do, like at Sandpoint Middle School, here's some other things. And they gave some options. One of the options they gave was build a new Sandpoint High School, build a new Sandpoint Middle School. So they had different levels, and that's all available. They did an excellent job on really looking at the data, all the building conditions, all the information coming in for how much money we were going to be getting. And for a community group to come together like that, the chair was Dave Demers, and Chuck Lohman was the vice chair, and they did a great job of running that with the community folks, parents, and there were some staff people on there as well. Then the board said, well, we're not going to go to the voters. I mean, the board didn't say, we're not going to go to the voters right now, but that wasn't in the discussion of the board right now. They knew this money was coming.
$15.1 million you're expecting from the state.
Yeah. Yes. So what can we do right now without going back out to the voters for asking additional money? So the board has had discussions and approved the draft 10-year plan. And they will be going out for the request for qualifications. Just got approved at the last board meeting last week. So they'll be going out and asking for those to look for a general contractor that will be doing the work.
So you've identified the first projects then?
The first projects are identified, and it really focuses a lot on Sandpoint Middle School. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that mostly based on safety? And maybe expand capacity and things like that.
Yes.
And age of the building.
Age of the building.
All the problems it's having.
Yeah. Yes. So some focus on that and really looking. And there's a few other projects you can see on there as well. We've written several grants to try to help with some other of the safety issues. Just because if we could get that funding from a different source and really use this facility funds only for capital improvement projects is really what it's designed for. Mm-hmm. So,
and you said people can see more about this on the website.
On the website, yeah. And all of the everything that was approved, it's all on there. And the list of the draft 10-year plan, because as you know, you start in something and it may shift. The priorities might shift, the student enrollment may shift, just a lot of differences.
Okay, well, a couple of big things going on there. Cool. Congratulations to that committee. I know they put in a ton of time.
A lot of research on their own to come together as a group. So I do want to thank them for that.
Yeah. So, well, we are now, less than 2 weeks away. September 3rd is the first day of school, just right after Labor Day. Sorry to tell you that, kids.
Have fun while you can.
Well, the reality
school is fun, right?
They hate to see vacation go away, but they love to see school come as
back.
Well.
I always hesitate to tell parents because I know how important sleep is, but I hesitate to tell parents, like, start gradually telling your students to wake up earlier, their kids, so that they're ready. It's not just a ripping the Band-Aid off the night before first day of school, but yeah.
So, tell us about enrollment right now. I assume enrollment is still possible for families. Maybe they're just
absolutely
coming into school.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. And we did, if anybody watched our board meeting or looked at my superintendent report, which is always available the next day after a board meeting on the website, those are right on the homepage. We did have an increase this year in open enrollment. So as I told the school board, we went up from last year, there was an open enrollment of 315. 56 kids were out of the district. And so when I say open enrollment means if you have a home school where you lived within that zone, because that new law was passed the legislative session last year, not this last one, but the one before, remember that they can go to anywhere in the state.
They can pick the school they want to go to.
Yeah. Yes. As long as there's not, they don't, their student doesn't have excessive absences, chronic behavior problems, or if there's, they haven't reached the maximum capacity in our classroom sizes. So last year we had 56 from out of district. This year we had a total of 383 open enrollment, but 96 were out of district. And 68 of those were from West Bonner, 24 from Boundary County, 4 from Lakeland, and 0 from Coeur d'Alene so far.
So close to double the number from out of the district that want to come to school here.
Yes.
Yeah.
What are some of the reasons that parents may choose that option?
Well, I would be guesstimating, but in my estimation, from talking to several folks that live there or that know people who live there that are coming here. So, you know, they didn't pass their levy at West Bonner, and they are going to run it again in November, and I really hope they pass it. They've done a That community has really come together and done a lot of fundraising. They're doing a pay for play for the extracurriculars right now, but just a ton of community support there for those schools. But they did have to close the junior high, Priest River Junior High, and their housing. They're going to be 7th through 12th up at Priest River Lamana High School. So quite possibly that could be some of it. There is, you know, less funding if you don't pass your levy, so there is less funding, and quite possibly parents know that we have an indefinite term levy and that we have, you know, low class sizes. We're one of the best districts in the state.
So it's a big commitment.
Yeah.
Parents have to then bus or bring their children, commute them.
Yeah, they have to bring them. If we have a bus stop at the border and there's room on the bus, they can join the transportation as well. But again, it is it's a hardship for everyone when your local community doesn't support education. That's very difficult because, as you know, we are not funded at the rate from the state that we need to be. So, you know, over 90%, I don't quote me on that number. I can't remember the latest number of school districts out of 115 in the state that require a levy to function. And it's very high. I think it's around 90% of the districts. It's a lot.
It's over 80%.
Yeah,
that number as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So looking at the website, you have a chart there, handy chart there on the open enrollment report.
Yep.
And you have space available at each school. But it looks like a lot of schools don't even have space available.
Right.
So how's that work?
Then they can choose one of the other schools, or I might have to deny the application if we don't have room. Several right now on are what we call provisional acceptance, and we're doing that to make sure that all of the people that live here in the district have done their registration process. Often we find parents haven't completed that registration. So parents, if you're listening, please make sure your student is registered. And the first week and this week and next week are really big for getting your kids enrolled, making sure they get into the class sizes. And then after that, we will see how much space is left after that.
And there are applications on the website.
Yes. Right? Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. They're online.
Okay. So any local families listening to this, get on the stick. Because we have open enrollment now, kids coming in from outside the district, if you don't get your kid enrolled in a particular school, you might miss out on that school.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, and we did send that communication home to families last year and this year to let them know about that new law.
Not all paying attention.
I know.
As we know. Here in the media business.
So how do they contact the school to do that?
They go online to the website, www.lposd.org, and there's an application in there.
On
the homepage. And they're also at the very top of our website. If you are a returning student, click here to re-register your kids saying they're coming back. If you're new, here's a registration, and there's two buttons right at the very top under the beautiful view of the Long Bridge and Schweitzer. Right under there are the two buttons. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. Now, you also have open houses and orientation days at the schools?
Coming up. Those are all coming up. And we talked about that. The dates this year, the elementary open house nights, and they would receive information from the principal, is Tuesday, August 27th. Wednesday, August 28th. This year, the secondary schools are Tuesday, August 27th.
So that's Sandpoint High School, Lake Pondre.
Sandpoint High School always has that barbecue for incoming ninth graders and their families, and that starts at 5 p.m. Then the other returning students, 11th, 10th, 11th, and 12th, starts at 6 p.m. This year, based on parent feedback, we are starting the Sandpoint Middle School's open house earlier, 4:30 to 6:30, because parking was an issue last year. So they've staggered those this year. Lake Pondre High School is at 5 p.m. and Clark Fork Junior Senior High School is 5 p.m. Then all of the elementary schools are on Wednesday, August 28th, and those are from 4 to 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Is it a time to bring your child and meet the teacher kind of thing?
Meet the teacher, class lists, what classroom supplies are they recommending, new students seeing what the layout is, where the playground is, where the lunchroom, bathrooms, all of that.
Yeah. Orientation.
Yeah, that's great for the kids. They come a little bit prepared that first day. Probably also a lot better for the staff.
Yes, they love it.
Less confusion. There's plenty of confusion, I'm sure, the first few days anyways. So, are there any new academic programs going on this year?
Well, one thing that I want to just do a little bit of a brag for a second. I don't know if people saw in Idaho Ed News or in our local Bonner County Daily Bee, but we were one of the top performers in the state for our IRI, which is Idaho Reading Indicator scores, and that is the K-1-2-3. They have a fall, winter, and a spring, so three times a year they assess, and there's state funds based on that. I will say one thing that definitely helped is we had the, and I spoke to you, and I know you guys had Lisa McElroy in for our literacy lead, looking at the dyslexia legislation and how our district was going above and beyond, really looking at screening every child. Every single student read to an adult and really looking at who can we help for our initiative. Every student graduates a reader in the Lake Pondre School District. That's a lofty goal. It really is. But that, as you both know, that can change the trajectory of a student's life more than anything else. Mm-hmm. So we have been very successful this year. A shout out to all of our teachers. K-12 have helped with this. Every single one of them went through training last year on identifying traits and characteristics of dyslexia, how to recognize them, how to pre-screen at elementary, how to do some diagnostics, and then refer for further intervention. So there was a big lift last year with Lisa McElroy, Andrew Murray leading the charge with that, and then helping students to really have teachers help in that process. I will tell you, it just got released, and we are, as far as growth, looking at students that grew, we were fourth in the entire state for big school districts, not just the teeny little ones, but we were fourth in the state. We had a 13.9 percentage point growth, and Post Falls, Lakeland, Caldwell, and then us for that. And then in overall scores, the number of students who percentage that were proficient and above, we were sixth, which were Post Falls, Lewiston, West Ada, Coeur d'Alene, Lakeland, and Lake Pondre. So we were in that top tier and were printed in Idaho Ed News and then the local paper on that. So it was a very big celebration. Huge. Mm-hmm. And we were continuing to work on math. We showed math growth in all grade levels. Also, our ISAT scores, which we've talked about before, Idaho Student Achievement Tests, that really talks about how at the end of the year, the growth, it's not a progressive from fall to spring, so it doesn't show like the IRI or our math growth on our scores. This is a summative end of the year, and then it's compared with everybody else in Idaho. We beat the state in every single age grade level in math, reading, and science. So
nice.
That was great to report that out. There's definite great teaching and learning going on in this district.
And a lot of it is foresight. You know, you've looked forward. You have a goal of the future of, for these children and providing a great education, which you're doing. Again, congratulations.
Thank you. To answer your earlier question, though, Chris, is there any new academic? I do want to say the board has really directed us in a loving way, not like direct us in, but they said, let's focus and really look at what are we going to do. The strategic plan can be very overwhelming. It's comprehensive. I've been here a few times talking about all the intricacies of that. It's a lot to keep track of and a lot for the staff to have to focus on. And the big buckets of facilities and school safety, student connection, quality staff, community connection, and in the center is our student and talking about the student achievement and them learning and growing. So the board this year, we did a board workshop, and the board is going to focus on three areas. One is one trusted adult. We started that initiative last fall. We kicked it off. We want every single student to have one, at least one trusted adult at the school that they feel confident talking to, and they know if they have a problem, if they have a concern, could be safety, could it be emotional, could be behavior, something that they know that they have a trusted adult at school to talk to. We know their parents at home are their people, and they can count on their parents at all times, but we want them at school to be able to have that connection. So last year, we started just in our baseline. When we surveyed every single student, it was about 84%. By the end of the year, we grew and we were 97%. So the board is going to focus.
97% of the kids had a trusted adult.
One trusted adult. We are going to do that again this year, and the board really wants, we're going to be up to 100% as our goal by the end of the year, that 100% of our students. So we'll do another baseline fall, go through the year. So the board's going to really concentrate on that. Then we're going to concentrate on graduation rate. As we talked about my first year back, I said the graduation rate is down lower than 90%, and that's not acceptable because I know this district cares about each and every student, and we should be doing better to graduate. Now, I will remind everyone that's not blaming anyone, pointing any fingers at all. After the COVID, there's a lot of districts that dip down, not just this one, but I truly care about this district and what we're doing for our students. And we need to make sure that every student, every day, we know what they're doing and how we can help them get to that finish line. So they have that feeling of self-efficacy and I graduated and what's their next step. So we are really working hard and we worked hard and we have some preliminary results from last year. And we're really this year going to shoot to be over 97% for our graduation.
What are some of the things that you're putting into place to capture some of the students that have fallen through the cracks or could fall through the cracks? And I'm thinking about training also for that one adult.
Trusted adult.
Yeah.
Yep.
How does a teacher or someone in the school know how to interact in that way?
Yes. Well, let me start with the graduation rate because we did put into place we've always had the four-year student learning plan, but having students be able to really create relevancy from what they're doing in school to what's the final objective to graduate and what's after that. So having some sort of vision and ability for students to create. Most students don't look 5-10 years down the road and see, oh, that's connecting to what I'm doing today. So we have to create a pathway for them to find relevancy and some joy and passion and some engagement in what they're doing now. And that really comes back to earlier we talked about CTE. How do I create an environment for kids to want to be where we're right now, what we're doing right now in school that's creating some relevancy and some passion for them to want to be there. So creating that for kids really has to do with what we call a student-centered master schedule, getting their input, seeing what their ideas are and wanting to be, desiring to be at school. Our attendance, we really focused a lot on attendance. How do we get kids back into school? How do we get parents back knowing that how important attendance is and for students to be there? After the COVID, throughout the entire country. I think we talked last year about our kindergarten enrollment numbers were way down because there is some hesitation from families I talked to, like, I'm not quite sure if I'm ready to send my kid. Number one, with the COVID and there was at-home learning, I think some families were like, wow, I kind of like my kids and I like having them around more than, and they maybe made some homeschool and maybe helped with some of the learning, even if they stayed enrolled and they did some online, but they were helping support their kids and they maybe found some joy in that and thought there was some benefits. Others were like, when are you going to open the schools back up? I want to get my kids back to school. I need a break.
Good voice there.
I've heard that a lot. So there is the, but we did work on attendance and really being at school. The other thing we did is we did create an online that we're, Clark Fork High School is doing it, and we are going to have an online, a Lake Ponderay online academy. So students that want to have part of their day at home and maybe continue down that path and want to maybe come just for certain classes they want to take in person and others they want to take online, that creates what's called a self-directed learning plan. And 2 years ago, the legislature passed that self-directed learning law where students can individualize their education. So that's really important that our district is trying to work with families, work with students. What's going to work for you as an individual student to be successful to get to that finish line of graduation? So those are some things that we've put in place to help increase graduation rate. Also adding another half-time elementary counselor this year that is going to help, because the more support we can give those kiddos starting in elementary and create all of those things I just talked about, how important school is and helping them create that vision and their aspirations for their future, that is, will help as well.
Right. School, elementary school counselors can create an environment for the student to feel safe and happy. And I can't wait to go to school because it's fun there. It's a safe environment. And
yes.
I love it.
So. Yes. So that was the second. There's one trusted adult, graduation rate. And then the third thing is the student learning, the student achievement. So that's where we're talking. I talked about the IRI and the math growth that we will have for students. That is where that is. So those are the three areas that our school board is going to really focus and will report on those monthly to the school board at with my superintendent report.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow, sounds good. So I don't know if any other academic things you want to mention, but I also wanted to see other extracurricular programs going on this year that you want to do a shout out about.
Well, you know, Acadeca went back. Speaking of extracurricular, you know, Acadeca went back and won again with gold, and they are amazing. Becky Haig, she's the science teacher at Sandpoint High School, and she was the advisor last year. And I'm not sure if it was her first or second year. I can't remember, but she did an amazing job, and the students just had a great time. Always really proud of Acadeca. Proud of also all of our athletics and sports teams, everybody, BPA, Business Partners of America. We just have so many opportunities for kids. It's just amazing. Theater and the drama competitions that they have, swimming, you know, it's first time ever there. It's just been so many things. Tennis, first time. I mean, it's golf. I mean, we just have had so much success. Shout out, to TJ Clary, who was the new activities and athletic director at Sandpoint High School. He's just been wonderful. His saying is winning off and on the court, off and on the field, both of those. Mm-hmm. And Clark Fork also has had great success with their extracurricular. So
I think Acadeca can make a big difference. Just a little bit of a little anecdotal thing. Will Clark hosted CP at 3. It's the high school broadcast journalism
on Thursdays
that for KRFY. And when we first met him, he said, I'm an Acadeca and I like to talk. That was his credentials to become the journalist, broadcast journalist.
Yeah, he's amazing, yeah. I tell you.
A useful attribute when you're on the radio.
Right. Yes. Like to talk.
Like to talk.
Or drink lots of coffee.
Yeah.
And we should mention the first football game is this Friday, right?
Yep. Yep. First football. I also forgot to mention, I probably left some off, so I apologize. HOSA, which is the Health Occupation Students, Kristen Day is running that, and she took a group of students and raising money for nationals, the Cedar Post and the graphic arts. They have just a ton of opportunities at Sandpoint High School and Clark Fork High School and LPO High School. Just for this size of community, I'm always amazed at how many opportunities there are for kids to get involved.
Mm-hmm. So is there a central place where kids find out about different things that they could do at these extracurricular activities?
Yeah, they have a club fair, and they, you know, usually when they go orientation at Lake Pend'Oreille High School, Clark Fork, it's, you know, small enough where they can tell all students about every opportunity. And then Sandpoint High School, they have a club fair, and they tell you about clubs, extracurricular. They go through all of that stuff. Don't miss the orientation at any of the schools because you'll learn about all of that. And they have video announcements. So every day you get to hear new opportunities from kids as well.
And those orientations, again, are August 27th and 28th, you said.
Yep, yeah. For the elementary.
Yeah,
yep.
For the elementary, yeah. Okay, well, you have to leave a little bit early today. I don't know how much time we have left, but I did want to ask a couple of follow-ups here from talking previously with you back in the spring. You were hosting a student safety summit. So how did that go? Were there takeaways from it?
Yes. So that was on April 17th, I believe. And we had a fentanyl. So we had one part with the fentanyl, and that was one section. And then they switched halfway through, and we had something on social media, internet, ways that they're using electronics that students are.
And mental health as well.
Mental health as well. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. And it was, the presenters said it was the largest audience that they ever had. So it was very well attended. Many thanks to the Panhandle Health District they did a grant to help us provide. We had free childcare. So we had high school kids there, had about 50 kids there, which was far more than we thought. So it was great. A lot of families were able to attend with that free childcare. And we had a free dinner. So that was helpful for that grant for people to be able to attend. So our plan this year, we want to do one annually every single spring, but we do have what I call a think tank and the secondary think tank. It's, based on Abraham Lincoln, when he was the president, he had what was called Lincoln's cabinet, and he had minds that would think opposite of him so that he would not be finding people sitting around him just reinforcing what his thoughts were.
The team of rivals, the book.
Yes, you've read it. It's huge. I did read that book, but it was a long going. So I really designed something like, how could we get people with different perspectives to think about how to improve the district? So we have what's called a think tank that I started, and we have K through 12 staff on that. And one thing the secondary folks really would like to concentrate and focus on, and we did reading of some over the summer. I listened to the audiobook about the Jonathan Haidt's The Anxious Generation, about, you know, the cell phones and the instant gratification and the constant disruption, the comparison with other teens. And so we are going to do a focus group this year with community and parent groups about talking about the cell phone and the cell phone policy and looking at that, what it does to the brain. So we did an introduction to that last year in one of those sessions, and that's going to be a focus again for this year. And continuing also with the fentanyl and doing a follow-up with that. So we're looking at possibly having a parent focus group this year and having a follow-up with the fentanyl. Because there are a lot of questions from families, and just having that, you know, hour and a half wasn't quite enough time. We need to mm-hmm. continue with both of those.
Right, and we know this area is all about word of mouth. Mm-hmm. So people heard what happened last year in April 17th, and I think you'll have more people wanting to attend.
Good, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Another program we had last year was Safe Routes to School. For kids who walk or bike to some of our elementary schools like Farman, Stidwell, Washington, Kootenai. There was a weekly group, I think, for that. Is there that program in place again?
Yes, they have a grant, and Erin does that. She works with all of those schools, and they do a lot of great advertising. You can certainly look on our website for that, and I think they have an Instagram account, and she does a lot of publishing of information. Mm-hmm. So healthy ways to get to school.
Yeah, safe ways.
Yes, safe ways.
Make the kids aware of that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It seems like it's a perfect opportunity for volunteering, parents getting involved, mm-hmm. creating routes and being on those routes to kind of direct traffic in the beginning.
Yes, that's wonderful.
And so how are you doing for staff? That's always a challenge, right? To get all the teachers you need and get them in place.
Yes. And as I said, our third bucket on that strategic plan is recruit and retain quality staff. You can see from our retention, which if you, is near 100%, it was very high retention this year. I think it's mainly because it's a great place to work. It's a great environment, you know. Very supportive. We have PAFE, the Rotary, Kiwanis, like all of these
local. A lot of community support behind the teachers.
Very much community support in this area. And it really helps teachers feel valued, which nationwide isn't always the case, especially after the COVID. There was, you know, like, goodness gracious, there was a lot of teacher bashing, I would say, throughout the country. But I feel like in this area, we really value the teachers, the parapros, everybody, all the classified that works, bus drivers, child nutrition workers, custodians, everybody helps with that. Everybody, office assistants, everybody helps support kids here. And I think they feel that. So I think that's why we're so successful in retaining, being able to retain quality staff here.
How about substitutes? Are you on the hunt for substitutes?
Yes. I like to call them guest teachers. And we really would love to have guest teachers, more guest teachers. It's not an easy job, but it's very rewarding. Good pay. And if you're a retired teacher and you come back, it's even higher pay. So we're rewarding, trying to incentivize teachers that have retired to come back and help. And you get to pick your schedule. So you have a little electronic call and you can ignore it and turn it off every day. Like, nah, I don't want to work today. Yeah. Oh, I think I will go to work today. So it's a great, great work plan.
And they can find out more about that if they go to the website.
Yes. Yeah. Call the district office, go to the website. There's an application. We'd love to have more guest teachers.
And here's something new that I just learned about, and it's, I don't know if you're collaborating with the city on this, but they're going to have a day camp on non-student days at Community Hall. So you have, like a non-student day on November 1st, and it's for kindergarten through fifth graders. You actually have two of those in October, too, two non-student days. It's a place where parents could take their kids because there's not going to be school
awesome.
That day.
Awesome. I love it. No, I haven't heard about it.
It's from the city rec department.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
I'd love to advertise that, so I'll make sure and connect with them if it's Jason.
Yeah, so
and
we just got an email, you know, in my business about it, and people should get registered because I assume there's a maximum number that they could accommodate in that, but it's going to be held at Community Hall.
Okay,
and Community Hall. And they're going to have, games and, supervised activities.
Oh, so, what a wonderful idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, the October 3rd and 4th are our professional development days, the state days for our staff to have learning days. And we're really focusing on professional learning communities and focusing on the five non-negotiables and what are the prerequisites for us to take our district to the next level with our professional learning communities. That's our professional development focus this year.
Mm-hmm. And I'm one more question. We talked a little bit about sports, and football, volleyball, boys and girls, soccer, cross country, all getting underway. Most of them are starting right off this very week. I was just curious, has there been a connection between the city and the school district about the big new sports center that's being built at Traverse Park?
Well, I do go to quite a few city council meetings. I've heard about that. And I remember hearing things along the way that were little obstacles to getting going. And then it seemed like all of that got solved and that it's going to be helpful for our school district as well as all local
I would think
kids.
The tennis program and plus, mm-hmm. It's a big indoor space that these other athletic programs might be able to use as well.
Yes, for sure. And I'm sure Mr. Clary is all over that.
Wow, there's a lot going on. Again, have a great school year.
Thank
coming
you.
Up. You're so enthusiastic. We're very fortunate to have you at the helm. And I know that it's a team effort.
Yes.
So thanks to all the teachers and staff that's prepping for the new school year coming up.
Dr. Becky Meyer, thank you.